Man, thank God for his blessings. It's gonna go right along with some of the things I'm gonna preach tonight. I tell you, I just enjoyed the special song. I enjoyed the congregational songs. I love both of those songs we sang tonight. He leadeth me. He's one of my favorites. And I actually, be honest with you, forgot how much I love the song Never Grow Old. Maybe I used to not love it as much as I do now, but I think the older I get, the more I'm loving it. This morning, I was thinking as they were singing that, Brother Russell, this morning, I went right at the beginning of the service, I went to cross my legs, and Brother Russell was looking, you were looking at me, wasn't you? He got so tickled. I went to cross my legs, and the pain on my face tickled him. I mean, it was something. And we kind of made eye contact, and you know, everybody else was worshiping God. Me and Russell were laughing because he you knew my pain, didn't you, brother? I could just tell it was, you know, they say compassion is your pain in my heart, right? Russell was having compassion on me as he was laughing because he could feel my pain. But, man, thank God one day we're going to a place where we don't grow old. Amen? That is truly a blessing. We helped Adam and Mariah move yesterday, and praise the Lord for that. I'm glad they got into their home. But I tell you, it hurt me. I woke up this morning sore. I texted Pastor Brandon. I said, are you sore or is it just me? I should have stretched, right? Who knew you had to stretch before you move furniture? But I know next time I help somebody move, I'm going to do some calisthenics before I get started. But I was sore today. And when I went to cross my leg, I felt it. But anyway, thank God we'll never grow old one day. Amen. All right. You can turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. How about that? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Some of you are wondering, what are we doing here? Just switching things up a little bit, right? It won't kill us. It's good for us sometimes. We can get so stuck in a rut that we think things have got to be that way. And so I kind of like it. Pastor didn't have a scripture reading this morning. And I'm going to switch it up on you tonight because I'm not going to have the scripture reading or have you stand. How about that? Some of you won't be able to concentrate tonight. I've already lost you. You're done, right? I'm out of here, right? As soon as this service is over, these people. But anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Honestly, a couple weeks ago, we were looking at the life of David. And I may have said it from the pulpit. I may not have. I don't recall. But in my heart, I was confident that I was going to be moving into 2 Samuel. After I knew I was taking a break, I knew we had some missionaries lined up and we had the special service on the property. And I knew I was taking a break from preaching, but I also knew in my heart at that time that when we came back, I was going to start in 2 Samuel. I actually told Pastor that I was at a good breaking point because he asked me, you know, if we had the missionaries preach, would that affect my series? And I said, honestly, Pastor, I'm at a good breaking point. I'm finishing up David's years in the wilderness. And next time we preach, we're going to start 2 Samuel and the second phase of David's life, so to speak. But as I began to prepare for that and read and study, there was a section of scripture that I just could not pass by. And so I began to look at it. This morning, Pastor mentioned, if you've studied, sometimes something will just grab your attention and you can't let it go. And that's what happened to me as I was trying to prepare to move on. And it happened in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And so that's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to read to you in verse number 1 through verse number 6. And you'll have to bear with me when we get to verse 5 as I try to pronounce one of David's wives' names. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30 in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want to have a word of prayer, and then I want to preach on this passage of Scripture tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, thank you for another opportunity to be in church, and God, to fellowship with your people, God, to look into your word. And God, I pray tonight as I try to preach your word, God, that you would anoint me. God, I pray you would use me. God, I pray that you would clothe me in my calling. God, I need your help tonight. God, I don't deserve it, but I desire it. God, please help me as I preach your word. God, I pray that if there's somebody here tonight and they're distressed, even greatly distressed, God, I pray tonight that somehow, some way, through your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help them with that tonight. God, do what you desire in this service. And for whatever you do, God, we'll do our best to thank you and praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I want to preach out of verse number 6 of 1 Samuel chapter number 30. But before I do, I kind of want to bring us back up to speed. If you'll recall, we were looking at the life of David, and I was talking about those wilderness years, those years of pursuit where Saul was chasing David, and we talked about how that Saul was the enemy of David and he was pursuing him, and how that we have an enemy that's pursuing us, and how that in that pursuit God had protected David, and he had used many different things to protect David, and we looked at four of them, and we looked at how that God used people, right, to protect David. We saw how that God used prayer, as we've heard even this morning, to protect David. We saw how that God used principles in David's life that he lived by that helped him to protect him during those years of wilderness wanderings and pursuit. And we saw how, last message I preached, how God's providence protected David. God just stepped in. His providential timing and his providential test that he brings into our lives, and they're for our protection. And we talked about the providential trials of God that God allows into our lives. And as I said, I plan to move on from that, but I just couldn't get past this point. And so I want to look at something that I believe is a real low point in the life of David. You know, when we think about low places in David's life, most of the time, if I were to ask you tonight to think of a low point in David's life, I would say that a good percentage, if not 90% of the people here would think of the sin with Bathsheba. You say that's a low point in the life of David, and it is. Some may say, well, I was thinking actually of his son Absalom. That's another low point in the life of David, when Absalom, his son, came and tried to steal away the kingdom, and that's a low point in the life of David. And we'll get to those as we get into 2 Samuel. We continue to study the life of David. But very few, I believe, would even think of or mention this event at Ziklag. But I'm here to tell you tonight, this was a low point in David's life. The Bible says that David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. David is in a desperate situation. That's the first point I have tonight. I got to move quickly. Brother Allen told me last Sunday after our service on the property, I came over here to the church. We had left something here, and we came over to church, and he was dropping the bus off, and he waved me down as we were leaving. I thought, it's got to be important. You know, Allen's waving me down in the parking lot. I'm out on Gate Road, and he's down at the dumpsters, and Leah's like, Brother Allen's trying to get your attention. And so I slow down, I roll down the window, and he says, hey, can you preach that long next Sunday night? And so I got to hurry, right? But anyway, so David is in a situation. That's what I want us to see tonight. I want to see his situation. David is in a desperate situation. I believe David is in a bad place, and I want us to see what happened to David, how that he could go from where he was to where he is. You got to go back. If we're going to get to this place, I want to go back and kind of work our way back here, okay? So we left off in chapter 26. So if you would, I want you to turn back to chapter 27. And you'll recall as we were looking at the providential test in David's life, how that there was the test with Saul, how that David passed that test. I believe he passed the test with Saul there in the cave, but I believe he passed it even better there when Saul's men were surrounding him and he went down. And in chapter 26, you'll find that. And in verse number 25 of chapter 26, it says, "Then said Saul to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So I wonder, how is it that David went from this place where even Saul, the one that's pursuing him, says to David, "David, you're going to do great things. David, God's going to bless you. God's going to do what he said he was going to do. He said, you're going to do great things and you shall prevail," right? And so you would think David is at a high point in his life, and I think in some ways he is. But I want us to look at chapter 27 and verse number 1, and I want to see what I believe is the beginning to David getting to chapter number 30, verse number 6, where he's greatly distressed. Now, I don't know how long it was between verse 25 of chapter 26 and verse 1 of chapter 27. I'm not sure exactly how long this was. The Bible does not tell us, but I do know how long it was from chapter number 27, verse 1, to chapter number 30, verse number 6. The Bible tells us that. So look at verse number 1. It says, "And David said in his heart," trouble, right? We know we got to be careful when we start saying in our heart. And I know that sometimes you got to understand what I'm saying here. It's not always wrong to talk to yourself. We're going to actually talk about that here in a little bit. It's good sometimes to talk to yourself. I enjoy sometimes, you know, sometimes yourself's the best company, right? But you got to be careful about following your heart. And it almost tends to look as if that's what David's doing here because of what he says in his heart. Look at verse number 1. It says, "David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." What? What are you talking about, David? Saul just told you last verse. I don't know how long ago it was, but Saul himself said, "David, you're going to do great things and thou shalt prevail. God, David, God's made a promise to you. What do you mean that you're going to fall, that you're going to die, that Saul's going to win? What are you talking about?" You see, David is listening to the wrong voice. David is following his heart, and the heart, as we know, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." What? The Philistines? We know who the Philistines are, right? They're the enemies of Israel. That's the armies of that great giant that David slew called Goliath. He's a Philistine, right? David says, I need to go to the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. What are you talking about, David? I believe this is the beginning of David. It's a spiral that just begins, and it gets out of control, and David is going down, down, down until we get to chapter number 30, verse 6, where it says that David was greatly distressed. I believe David's at rock bottom in chapter 30, verse number 6, where the Bible says he's greatly distressed. You know what that word distressed is, the definition of it? I looked it up. This is how you define distress. It means to be in a strait. It's a narrow place. If you look it up, it means to be under great pressure. So David is greatly distressed. He's under a lot of pressure. He feels like he's, as we would say in our day, between a rock and a hard place. You know what I'm talking about? David feels like there's nowhere for him to go. He feels like he's hit the bottom. He feels like he's trapped, like he's stuck. He's greatly distressed. We're talking about a man that has seen God do mighty things, but now here he is, a man that is greatly distressed. I believe if you were to read, and I'm not going to do it for sake of time because I want to get to the point of my message tonight, but if you were to go home tonight and you were to read chapter 27, chapter 28, chapter 29, and then the beginning of chapter 30, what you're going to find about David over this period of time, which is a year and 4 months, if you were to read in chapter 27, I don't know, verse 5 or 6, the Bible, we're right here. Look at verse number. Look at verse number 7. It says, "In the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months." So I don't know how long it was from the time that Saul said that to David in chapter 26, but from chapter 27 in verse 1, when David fled to the Philistines, the Bible tells us that David stayed in the land of the Philistines for 1 year and 4 months. And during that 1 year and 4 months, you know what you're going to find if you read about David's life? You're going to find a man that is discouraged. I mean, you can almost read it in verse number 1. He said that he's going to perish one day by the hand of Saul. He says, there's nothing better for me to do. I mean, David is discouraged. David is deceived. David has gotten almost, you could say, delusional to think that all of a sudden now Saul's going to kill him. All of a sudden now he's not going to be able to. All of a sudden now he's got to go to the land of the Philistines. What are you talking about, David? I believe that there's many things we could read between the lines here. I believe David is drained. He's tired. He's been on the run for I don't know how long it's been, but. Some people believe 10, 15 years David has been running from Saul. There's some debate about exactly how long that was. But either way, David has been running from one place to the other. He's been living in caves. He's been staying in the mountains. He's been on the run. And David is just tired. He's drained. He's worn out. He's discouraged. He's defeated. He's delusional, right? I believe he's disobedient. God had told David not to leave. There, you can go back and there's a place where God's prophet told David to go to the land of Judah, not to go to the land of the Philistines. And so David is disobedient. David is being dishonest. If you were to read through those chapters that I just mentioned to you, David goes to the king of Gath and he begins to tell him the things that he's doing. And you know what David does? He lies to him. He tells him that he's fighting Israel when really he's fighting the Amalekites. And he's wiping out all the Amalekites, which is a good thing because the Amalekites are the enemies of God's people. But he's wiping out the Amalekites so that they can't go back and tell the king of Gath what David's doing. And so David is lying. He's being dishonest. He's being deceptive. I mean, David is in a bad way. David is drifting further and further away from God. I mean, he's living, think about where he's at. He's living amongst the enemy. He's in the land of the Philistines. You won't find, I'll tell you something we're going to see here in a minute in chapter 30, and some of you know this already, but in chapter number 30, in verse number 6, when I read it to you, it said, David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. In verse number 7, says that he inquired of the Lord. You know you won't find that anywhere in chapter 27, 28, 29. David's not inquiring of God. David's following his heart. David's doing what he thinks is best. David is drifting further and further away from God. And David is at the place where he is distressed. He is in a bad way. He's at a place where the pressure almost feels unbearable. What do you do when you get to that place? You ever been there? You ever been discouraged? You ever been distressed? Just feel like it's just the pressure. You can't even take it. You feel like you're just between a rock and a hard place. You feel like the pressures of this world and the pressures of all that's going on in life is about to squeeze the life out of you. That's where David's at. The Bible says, I think sometimes we read over these little phrases and we just skip by them. The Bible says these men cried until they had no more tears. Have you ever cried to the point you couldn't cry anymore? That's where David and his men are. When the Bible says he was greatly distressed, it doesn't say he was just distressed. It says he was greatly distressed. It means David is under a ton of pressure. He's at the bottom. He's come to the end of his rope. He feels like he's hit rock bottom. And what does he do? Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe there's somebody, you walked in here tonight and you feel the pressure. The pressure from work, the pressure from family, the pressure from finances, the pressure from I don't know what, but there's just pressure and it's just about to squeeze the life out of you and you feel like you're getting discouraged and you feel like you're drifting further and further away from God. What do you do when you hit the bottom? That's where David's at. I'll tell you what a lot of people do. They do what David's men did. Do you see what they did? Go to chapter 30 if you're not there. Chapter number 30, it says, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Look at it. For the people spake of stoning him. You know, that's what some people do when they get under pressure. They try to find somebody to point the finger at. They try to put the blame on somebody else. Now, I do think there's some blame on David here. Don't get me wrong. David is the leader. David said in his heart, I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul. David was the one that said, let's go to the land of the Philistines. But can I tell you, they didn't have to go. They did not have to go. They followed David to the land of the Philistines. They followed David to the king of Gath. They followed David to fight the Amalekites. They were going to even follow David to fight Israel. But now all of a sudden when they hit rock bottom, when their families are gone, when their children are gone, now all of a sudden they've got to point the finger somewhere. So what do? They point the finger at David. They say, let's stone him. Let's kill him. Let's just do away with him. You know, that's what we do sometimes. We get distressed, we get discouraged, we get downcast, we start drifting away from God, and if we're not careful, you know what we'll do? We'll start pointing the finger at everybody else. We'll start getting mad at everybody else. We'll start getting real short with everybody else. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness here? I know you don't want to admit it, but that's the way we are. Our families know it. Our wives know it. Our children know it. That's what we do. We do sometimes what these men done. But I'll tell you what we need to do. When we get to the bottom, when we get discouraged, when we get distressed, when we're drifting further and further away from God, we need to do what David did. Look at what David did. So we see his situation. It's a terrible situation. But I want to look at his solution. Look at what David does. Verse 6 says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What a statement. What a statement that is. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know what encouragement is? If you look up that word encouragement there, it means to strengthen. It means to give courage to encourage. It means to give courage to. David has lost his courage. David is downcast. David is distressed. David is as we said already, he's all these things, and he's drifting away from God. And then it's like David decides, I've got to do something about this. And David encourages himself in the Lord. He strengthens himself in the Lord. Now, this is when it's good to talk to yourself. It's as if David has a talk with himself. You ever just have a talk with yourself? All the time. There you go. That's what David did. It's almost as if, I don't think David wrote that psalm, but there's a psalm, I think it's a psalm of Kor. It says, why am I cast down, O my soul? Why is my spirit disquieted within me, or something along those lines? And it's as if David began to talk to himself and say, what is going on with me? Why am I so distressed? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so drifting far away from God? Why am I being so disobedient? Why have I allowed myself to get to this place? And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to give you a couple things that I believe that means right here. Now, I can't prove for certain because all we have is this verse right here, but I think that if we look in the text and we reference this with other references in Scripture, I think it's very clear some of what David did. Now, not all of what David did, but I believe we can see some of what David did. The first thing I believe we see that David did is this: he reflected. You say, where do you see that at, Brother David? Well, I see it in a couple things. Number one, he encouraged himself. He had to do something to encourage himself. And I think something that he did was he reflected. He looked back at the past. Because the Bible says that he encouraged himself, listen, in the Lord. You know what that word Lord right there is? It's Jehovah. It's the Hebrew title Yahweh. It's the self-existing one. It's the one that when Moses was at the burning bush and he said, who do I tell them that I am? He said, you tell them I am that I am sent thee. That's Jehovah. David encouraged himself in the Lord, in Jehovah. Not only did he encourage himself in the Lord, but he encouraged himself in the Lord, look at it, his God. David reminded himself whose he was. He said, I am the Lord's. I am Jehovah's. And then he said, he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Who is that? That's Elohim. That's the one that created everything. That's the creator God. That's the all-powerful God. And it's as if David, there in that moment at rock bottom, when he was in that strait, when he was under pressure, when he felt like he was between a rock and a hard place and he didn't know where to go, he reflected and he reminded himself of who God was. I believe David, I can't prove it to you, but I believe in my mind, I believe David looked back and he began to think about when he was a shepherd boy out in those fields of his father Jesse, and how he looked up at those stars and he was thinking about the God that created all those stars in the heavens, and how that was his God, and how that God owned a cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe David began to look back to when he was a little shepherd boy and he was watching those sheep, and that lion came and he slew that lion, and that bear came and he slew that bear. And I believe David began to think back to when Samuel came to town and they called all of Jesse's sons together and they tried to anoint one after one after one, and then they said, no, that's not the one. They said, go get the youngest that's in the field. And David came in and Samuel anointed David and told David he'd be the next king of Israel. I believe David looked back and began to reflect and think about that event in his life, and possibly he even went a little further and he began to think about how that God allowed him to defeat that giant called Goliath, and how those people sang the praises that Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. I believe David looked back and he thought about how that God had protected him when Saul threw that javelin at him, and how that God had used Jonathan and God had used Abigail, and how that God had used all these people and prayer and all the providential events of his life, and how that God had worked in his life. And I believe David began to reflect and remember how good God is. Amen. You say, what am I going to do when I get real low? I'll tell you one thing you need to do. You need to look back. Look back and remember what God's done for you. Look back and remember where God's brought you. See, if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes so fixed on the situation we're in, and that pressure will begin to mount. And I'm telling you, when that pressure's mounting, it's just good for us every now and then to sit down in a quiet place and encourage ourselves in the Lord, our God, and remember that there was a time in our life when we were not one of His children. There was a time in our life when we were an outcast from the family of God. We were enemies of God, but God in His mercy and God in His grace, He called us and He saved us and He changed us and He's protected us and He's provided for us and He's carried us through this wilderness called life. And even though Satan, our enemy, and this world is trying to destroy us, God is protecting us, and we just got to remind ourselves sometimes. I believe that's what David did. He took a walk down memory lane and he reflected on all that God had done for him, where God had brought him from. I think we could probably sit here tonight. I think we could probably stand up one by one and we could testify We could testify, if we really thought about it, about what God's done for us. I mean, I'm not just talking about salvation. If we just stood up and testified about the fact that we're saved, we could stay here all night. But I'm not just talking about salvation. I'm talking about all kinds of events in our lives where God has just showed himself time and time and time again. Brethren, can I tell you, God's been faithful. Even though we've been unfaithful. Here's David living in the land of the Philistines. You got to go back and read it. David has just went to the king of the Philistines, and whether he meant it or not, or he was being dishonest or not, I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe he was deceiving him. He had gotten to the place where he was deceiving everybody, even himself. But David literally told the king of Gath, "I'll go fight Israel." That's the place that David has got to. So he's living in the land of the Philistines. He just got back from telling the king of the Philistines, the king of Gath, that he would go fight the armies of Israel. His home is burned. His wives are gone. His children have been taken captive. And here David sits. And even in the midst of all of that, he remembers. God's good. God is good. I don't want you to get... Sometimes I get in a hurry when I'm preaching. I want you to think about that. See, sometimes we get in a bad place. Pastor mentioned it this morning. We look at God like he's that friend that won't open the door. He's our Father. We get in a bad place and we think, oh, God doesn't want anything to do with me. I'm sure there was a devil trying to tell David, God doesn't want anything to do with you, David. You fled God. You went to Philistine. You're fighting with the enemies of God. What does God want to do with you? Can I tell you, I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care what kind of straits you find yourself in. I don't care what kind of distressing situation you're in. Can I tell you, God still wants to hear from you. David reflected back and thought, man, God is good. Even when I'm bad, God is good. I mean, that is an amazing thought that David realizes. He reflects and he says, man, God has been so good to me. I'm trying to move on this evening, but I'm just trying to remind somebody that may be in a bad place. Don't you forget, hey, that same God that was good to you then, he'll be good to you now. He's still good. He's still as good as he was when he saved you. He's still as good today. And David reflected back and he thought, man, God's good. And I think not only did David reflect back and remember how good God was, but I think David reflected, but I also think David remembered. He reflected on the past, but I think David remembered the promise. I think at some point during this encouraging event in his life, David got alone with God and he began to reflect and he began to look back over his life and replay some of those events in his life and think about how good God had been in his life and how that God had never failed him and how that God had always been there for him. And then I believe he began to remember, hey, that same God made a promise to me. That same God, the Lord, Jehovah, he's a covenant-keeping God. And he made a promise to me. He promised me that I was going to be the king of Israel. And I believe David remembered that promise. And as he remembered that promise, you could just, it's almost as if you can probably just, can you see David just getting encouraged? I mean, he's just that encouragement's just building, it's just brewing because David is coming to, it's like that prodigal. The Bible says he came to himself. He said, man, what am I doing down here in the pig pen? What am I doing down here in Philistine? My father's a good father. I remember how good it was back home. Remember that prodigal? He said, man, what am I doing down here in the hog pen? I've got a good God back at home. I've got a good father back at home. His servants are being fed better than I am. And it's as if David, he reflected back on his past, and then he remembered the promise, and he said, I've got a God that made a promise that I'm going to be the king of Israel. And I believe David got encouraged in the fact that God has given him a promise. And can I encourage you tonight, brethren? I don't care how dark it gets. And I'm just telling you, I know it's easy when you're not in a dark place, and I hope I don't have to get to a dark place. But if I do, if I get to a dark place, I pray to God somebody will come along and remind me how good God was when it wasn't dark, how good God was when I wasn't discouraged, how good God was when I wasn't distressed, and remind me that God's made a promise to me. God's given me a covenant. God's going to, the sun's going to shine again. The sun's going to come up, okay? Darkness may endure for a season, but joy cometh in the morning. God's going to carry us through, brethren. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how discouraged you get. I don't care how downcast you get. I don't care how far you drift away. If you're God's child, God's made a promise. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's going to carry you through. Man, I'm telling you, man, I'm feeling something on that right now. If this ain't doing nothing for nobody else, it's doing something for me. Because I'm just telling you, in this life sometimes, Brother Brian, I get a little discouraged. I get a little downcast. If I'm not careful, I find myself drifting away. But I sure am glad when I drift away and when I get down and when I get distressed, I sure am glad I can look back at the past and remember that God that saved me 20 years ago and God that's kept me all along the way and God that's provided for me and God that's protected me and God that's done all these good things for me is still my God. And that God's made a promise to me that He's going to carry me through. He's going to finish what He started in my life. I'm going to heaven one day. I'm going to be conformed into the image of His Son, because He's guaranteed it. We're going to be conformed into the image of His Son. That's what God's going to do in our lives. And David understood that. I believe he looked back, he reflected on the past, he remembered the promises. And then I believe he refocused on the present. I think at this point, David, he's looked back, thought, man, God's been good to me. Man, God's just, He's took care of me. God's protected me. And then he started to remember, God's promised He's going to take care of me. God's promised He's going to put me on the throne of Israel. God's going to make me the king. He's promised that. And then I believe he was able to refocus on the present. All right, now let's focus on this situation. Now what do I do? Now that I'm in this hard place, I'm greatly distressed, and my men, they've turned on me. I mean, do you get where David's at? Those mighty men that's been with him the whole time, they're ready to kill him. His wife's gone, his children's gone, his city's burned. He's at the bottom. But then he refocuses. He reflects. He remembers. He refocuses. And I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe he repented. I believe that at some point during this process, David said, God, I'm sorry. I mean, how could he not? You ever been there? I think I'm preaching to some people that's been there. You've gotten discouraged. You've drifted away a little bit. And you've lived out what I'm preaching. You've reflected and you've thought, what's going on? You shook yourself. What am I doing? God has been good to me. God's changed my life. God's met my needs. God's provided for my family. God's worked miracles. What am I thinking? And then you remember, God not only has been good to me, God's going to be good to me. And then all of a sudden you start to refocus. And immediately, if you're anything like me, the next thought in your mind is, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I can't help but think that when David encouraged himself in the Lord, there come a point where he said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I went to the Philistines. I'm sorry that I didn't trust you there in Judah. I'm sorry that I got discouraged. I'm sorry that I drifted away. God, I'm sorry that I was dishonest and I lied. God, I'm sorry that I deceived other people and I deceived myself. God, I'm sorry. And he repented. And then in verse number 7 and verse 8, he returned. Verse 7 says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I believe David returned. He said, I'm going back to God. You know what I don't read here? I don't read what David's men did. It doesn't tell us, other than the fact they went with him. I don't know, but this is what I think. This is just a little Davidology, okay? Not that David. I think David got somewhere by himself. And David reflected on all that God had done, the Lord his God. And he remembered the promises. And he refocused on the present. And he repented. And I think when David came from that place of quiet, wherever it was, encouraged, revived. You know that's what will happen when you repent? You'll get revived. Refocused. Renewed. And I think when David came back out and he said, hey, tell Abiathar to go get the ephod, I think David's men thought, okay, it's going to be all right. I think that was who he said it to. I think David's men said, it's going to be okay. I think they knew David's in the right place. David wants to get the mind of God in the matter. And these men knew when David inquires of the Lord, good things happen. And so David returned back and he inquired of the Lord and he prayed and he said, God, shall I go? God, shall I overtake them? I love how David didn't just get right with God and say, all right, we're going to get our stuff. No, David said, let's ask God. Let's see what God wants us to do. And he returned. He went back to God. You know, it reminds me of this, and I'm done. I love this. I've preached this passage numerous times. I preached it at our leadership conference last year. Revelation 2, chapter 4 and 5, it says, he says, you know, that you've done good things. I know thy patience, thy labor, all that you've done, your works. And he says, but one thing. Thou hast left thy first love. You remember what I'm talking about? And he says this. It says, thou hast left thy first love. And then it says this. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember where you were before you got to where you are. Reflect, remember, repent, and do thy first works. Return. Get back to doing what you were doing, David. And I believe that's what David did. And we see his situation. We see his solution. And I won't read it to you. I'm only going to read it to you. I'm not going to preach on it. We see his spoils. Look at chapter 30. Look at verse number 18. This is a whole message in itself. That's why I'm not even going to try to preach it. Chapter 30, verse number 18. It says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. God gave David everything back. Now, I said I'm not going to preach this, but I feel like I got to say it. That does not mean that we can go live in sin and it doesn't have consequences. Can I tell you, Ziklag is still burned. They didn't rebuild Ziklag. I mean, not at this point. When David and his men go back to Ziklag with all their wives and children, it's still smoldering. And so don't get twisted that God doesn't hold us accountable for our times away. God will hold us accountable. He doesn't always give us back what we lost. But But thank God, he gives us back a lot. David recovered all. You know what I think? I thought about that. He recovered all. He recovered all that mattered. He recovered everything that mattered. He went and got his wives back. Now, that's another message. He went and got his children back. Right? He went and got his stuff back. And man, it's just so much there. David's a changed man after this. I mean, you know what David does with what he got? He gives it. He gives it to the 200 that stayed by the stuff. He doesn't even just give it to them. He gives it to some people in Judah that helped him when he was on a run. He says, man, let's send some of that stuff down there to those men that helped me when I was running from Saul. David is having revival. And so next week we'll pick up and we'll look at 2 Samuel and look at the next phase in David's life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you bless it tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use the message. I pray that you would use the thought. God, I pray you would use these truths in somebody's heart tonight, Lord. God, help us to reflect. God, to remember. God, to refocus. If need be, God, to repent. And God, help us to return and do what you would have us to do, Lord. God, help us when we get low to encourage ourselves in you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. I didn't ask you to stand. If Pastor doesn't mind, I'd like for y'all to come back to the piano. Can y'all do that song again? I'm sorry, Emily.